have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start. Change my heart and my spirit, please renew.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I need a healing touch from you. Feels like I'm so deep in
and I ask myself the question.
I ask myself,
can he really?
Well, Lord, change my heart. What a blessing it is to be here today on the Just For You podcast with Pastor Michelle Wright. Listen, we are blessed to see another week. The Lord has been good to all of us, and we came to give him the glory for how wonderful he is. Listen, if I don't know anything else, I know it is a privilege and an honor to wake up on today. And I want you to feel inspired and feel the presence of God as we go through this podcast. We are excited about today's podcast. There are going to be so many things that we will share and express through the word, through our guests, and we are excited about it. I want to thank you for listening in from week to week. For those who are just listening in, we're going to share with you what the Just For You podcast is all about, but we want you to know we appreciate you. So we greet you on today. We want to send a shout out to our very own visionary and CEO, Dr. Kenny Robinson. Thank you for the blessing and the vision that you have for Elation Radio. We love you and our Elation family. And also to our guests, thank you so much for being on today. And we're going to talk about them a little later on in the podcast, but we thank them for coming on today. To my husband, Pastor Donald Wright Jr., thank you for your love, your support, and your prayers. Now listen, before we begin, we always start with a word of prayer, and then I'll come back and share with you what the Just For You podcast is all about. Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to share on the airways. We know it is by your grace, your favor, and your mercy that it takes place. We give you all the honor, the praise, the glory. We thank you for everyone listening in. May you meet the needs of those that hear. Lord, we ask that you reign supreme, that you be glorified, that the information presented today, the word that's presented today, will help someone in their life. We ask that you lead, guide, and direct us, and forgive us all of our sins, and we will forgive others that we may be forgiven. Hear all spoken and unspoken requests, and we will honor you the more. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, listen, thank you for praying with us on today. I want to share with the listeners that are just listening in what the Just For You podcast is all about. The Just For You podcast is designed to encourage, engage, and empower listeners to live spiritually and naturally, utilizing biblical principles. Just For You will reveal truths in the Holy Bible to illustrate kingdom living, soul winning, hallelujah, compassion, and strategies for us, for mankind, and to serve and inspire others with opportunities to serve more effectively in the home, church, school, community, and marketplace. We have guests that will definitely inspire you today. So thank you again for listening to the Just For You podcast. As you know, we always begin with a sharp, encouraging word and exhortation. And on today, we're going to be talking about, we know Mother's Day is this weekend. For some, it is a joyous occasion. For others, it is a heartbreaking and time. And we want to make sure that we understand the importance of a mother, whether you were raised biologically by someone, there was a neighbor, a family member, someone God sent into your life. that they would give you hope, they would give you strength, they would lead you in a capacity of where you needed to be. That was important to God about your life. We don't always agree with the terms thereby, but one thing is for sure, he knows what he's doing. Today's short exhortation is going to come from a very familiar passage in Proverbs, the 31st Proverb. And not only that, we're going to talk and delve into something a little bit more as we read it. We want to just make sure we get the correct understanding of what a virtuous woman is. In Proverbs 31, that's beginning at the 10th verse, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh diligently or willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth always and also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Let's stop right there. Let's go back to the very beginning of what we've read. It says, who can find this virtuous woman? What does she look like? What does she example? How is she living? And for most of us, we feel like that's the perfect June Cleaver. I want us to be careful because virtuous women have a certain integrity and character, but there are many virtuous women in process. I said it, I mean it. There are very many virtuous women in process. They may not look like what you think they could look like. They may not look like June Cleaver. They may not look like someone you expect to see. But within them is a development of what God is putting in them. Why is she considered virtuous? Because there's a certain character that she possesses. And this is why it's important as women that we mentor young women and mentor others so that they can reach their potential in what God is calling them to do. Listen, I make my life an open book for our young people and for women that God allow me to connect up with. Why? Because on this road, whether it's professionally, whether it is ministerially, whether it's in the community, it is vital. As I stated at the very beginning, most women, our young men, may not have been raised by a mother. You sometimes can become that mother to others that normally would not have had it. This is why in our virtuous woman stance, we have to remember the role and remember what it means to love, to be compassionate, to take the time and not overlook, to be there for people, even when they don't know what it is they need themselves. Very critical and very important. And we also have to remind ourselves not only that everyone is in church, they didn't go to church. It's okay, when God is putting a plan together, I know that they're looking from heaven to see what it is that we will example that we've learned through the word. Let's continue to read, and we're going to make this very, very quick because I want to make sure we get to our guest, all right? Say this. It says that it talks about her rising up, and yet she giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's not selfish. She understands how to move and groove. We have this stating now that I'm sure you see it in social media about wearing your crown. You are queen. Everybody's queen. But with queen comes responsibility, integrity, character, and being able to not only do for yourself, but to share with others, all right? It says she considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. She knows how to produce, all right? She knows how to make something be what it needs to be for what the cause and the plan and the purpose is. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth and reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Listen, she knows her place and how to give. She knows whether she's married or not married. We read the scripture about her being a virtuous woman in the white sense, but women can be virtuous when they're not married. All right, we want to make sure that's clear because there are many virtuous women. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gate. Listen, that's it and that's all for me. That means the life that you live, that you're aspiring to live, that it will speak for you. In other words, at a homegoing service, no one should fumble to have something good to say. And when you haven't been everything the world or people think you need to be, you will find the love of God in his favor will help you to become all that you need to be. So when we look at virtuous from this point on, let's think about what they said about the married one, but let's consider the many single women, the many people that are aspiring to do good in their lives, to increase, to have purpose, to do great things, that this life may know who they are. And that is character, all right? And if you haven't had that character, I'm so grateful I have a guest on today that's going to share her inspiring story that you may hear what it means to be a virtuous woman. So without any further ado, I want to share with you on today, we have two guests. We have Mr. Alan Mueller, who we're preparing for, and he's going to share with us about an upcoming event that is necessary. I won't say just needed, but necessary that we gain insight about community. So often we talk about things in our community. What can we do? How can we do it? There are tools and opportunities to be able to understand what community has, what it offers, and what we need to do. Alan doesn't want to go by many titles, but he is the president and chair of Proud People Reaching Out for Unity and Diversity. And we have the opportunity to start with him. I'd like to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Mr. Alan Mueller from St. Louis. So we're excited to have him on. Hallelujah. Are you there, Mr. Mueller?
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Well, we are super excited to have you on. We know the great work that Proud is known for. It's people reaching out for unity and diversity. I'd like for you to share with us today, for those that don't know you, who you are, what you're doing, why is Proud so important, and what we're going to be talking about today, which is truly needed and an opportunity for the community to be a part of. So without further ado, please share who you are.
Okay, thank you. Well, yes, I am chair currently of Proud, And more specifically, Proud is in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yes.
So that is why it has its mission, and it's so we feel it is so important at this time. So Ferguson was very much in the news not too long ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This was very alarming to us because the whole purpose of Proud was to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Proud was founded in 1994 when it went from an exclusive white community and as the different municipalities around us were starting to change demographically, we decided that we wanted to welcome the change and invite our new neighbors in and learn to work together and appreciate our diversity. So that's why Proud was found. And to realize that it didn't work as well as we had hoped. So
mm-hmm.
we are still in struggle.
Well, here's the great news, because as long as we have breath and time, we still can work towards those things as communities. So this is the great thing about what you're doing and what's getting ready to take place. Let's talk about the real estate's racial history from covenants to gentrification. Talk to us about this event. It's going to be on May 16th at 6 p.m. at the Ferguson Community Center at 1050 Smith Avenue in Ferguson, Missouri. Talk to us about what is the community going to hear about on that night?
For St. Louis, like most communities throughout the country, has a very clear history in how people, where they found their homes, where they built their communities. And shortly after the Civil War, you know, we had a process called redlining.
Mm-hmm.
When that was found to be unconstitutional, then there were covenants that were added that said who you could or could not sell your home to. And this was done a whole lot in the Ferguson area, throughout the St. Louis area. In fact, it continued until the 1968 Fair Housing Act, which officially
mm-hmm.
outlawed it, but it continued long after that. And that set the precedence for why we have so many very segregated communities to this day, is the results of all that still exists to this day. So the purpose of this, our presentation, is to see how those patterns formed Ferguson and the rest of the St. Louis area, and how they still are used in when we develop now, which neighborhoods are purchased, are eminent domain, so that then they are taken and used for development, and all the residents of those areas get displaced.
And
there's
and this
a very
is so important. Go ahead.
No, please. Yeah. So, and this is things that continue to this very day, and there is a racist aspect to very much of this, and this is what we wish to discuss. And then try to set policies so that we will be able to resist this in the future.
This sounds so amazing, because I do believe that communities that are well-versed and understand can get a better understanding of the knowledge of what they need to do. And I highly encourage people to come out and to hear what needs to be discussed in this topic, because you may wonder why is this happening in my neighborhood, or why does this appear that way? And I'm sure that this particular night we'll be able to share some insight on what it means for your community. And even though we're talking about Ferguson, I'm sure they will be able to identify various tools that may happen in a different community. So is this particular night only open to Ferguson, or is the entire community welcome to attend?
I think it would be beneficial for anybody who wished to attend. One of the main topics we're going to talk about is how to use, or how it has been used, racially neutral language to enforce racist policies. And that goes to the very day. So it's awareness of what are the patterns and how do we talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we're all aware. So wherever your community is, you can be aware and on the guard and work then for equity within your community.
It sounds wonderful. This is also by Dr. Michael Gearhart of UMSL. He's an assistant professor of social work. And this program you guys are doing together so that the community is aware. And it is so awesome. I'm telling you, it's so needed that communities learn about this real estate racial history. It's so important. If a person is coming, what can they look for? Are they needing to bring anything? Is there something that they are asked to do? What will the night incur?
You do not have to bring anything except open heart.
Yeah.
Because what we want to do then is through this define how we want our community to be. And that is, I think, the main focus of all of this is there are large forces that decide what happens to our communities. And it's important that we then have a voice in what happens so that we can make our communities the way we want them. There's more and more research all the time talking about the importance of community, of neighbors, of neighborliness. In fact, just last week, the Surgeon General released a report. It was entitled Dealing with Loneliness, but so much of it had to do with the idea of community. And in every set of community, you were talking so much about Mother's Day, the importance of family, neighbors, larger families, then how your different communities, how they all relate and how they all strengthen your mental, emotional, and social health. And that's very much part of what this is. We need to define what is going to give us power, empowerment, and solace, joy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I also want you all to know Proud is just doing this event on the 16th, but just last week on May 6th, they had a gospel extravaganza for the community, and it was very well attended, and I hear it was a great time for all. But Proud also has upcoming events that are coming up. We have a big thing that he wants to share with you, I'm sure, in August, I believe it is. Would you like to share with the community what they will be doing and as far as Proud, the organization, in August?
The August event is called Evening in the Garden. It has been a mainstay of Proud from the very beginning. It really has to do with, again, developing that social community. We have a dinner party that is always in someone's yard, so it has that very nice home feel to it. And we have a catered dinner. It's also a fundraising event, but to again, bring people throughout the community together for a pleasant evening of dining and discussion.
I love it. I mean, what is needed in community is just what you said, neighbors, learning how to discuss things with our neighbors, being more socially engaged. It's all a part of what we all need to do in all of our communities, and we congratulate proud for the years of putting that work in and continuing the work that communities grow. As you said, it's in Ferguson, so our eyes are on Ferguson. And certainly it is changing and growing, and there's much work to do in not only the city of Ferguson, but across the country. And we have to own up to that, but gratefully so. There are grassroots operations and organizations that are willing to do the work. So we commend you and proud on all of the work that is being done. Again, this event is Tuesday, May 16th at 6 p.m. at Ferguson Community Center at 1050 Smith Avenue, Ferguson, Missouri. I also want you to get the website so you can learn more about Proud. That website is www.proud-ferguson.org for more information on Proud. Before we go, I'd like to know, are there any closing remarks? We know we're inviting people out for Proud. Is there any other takeaway or any other information you'd like to give at this time to the LIST audience?
No, we just welcome you and look forward to a good discussion so that we can all build our community together. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, we are grateful that you're doing the work that you're doing, the whole team and everyone that is working so effortlessly. And again, we're looking forward to hearing more about Proud and what you're doing in the community. And we're thankful that you have the time to come on today. And please, by all means, give your wonderful wife and everyone a big hi for me.
Definitely will. Thank you so much.
Okay, we thank you. Well, listen, you just heard from Mr. Alan Mueller of Proud People Reaching Out for Unity and Diversity, sharing what is going on in the city of Ferguson. So many times people remember the city, and they are looking ahead to see what's going on. Well, this is one of the grassroots organizations that will continue doing work in the city of Ferguson to enhance, to grow, and empower the community. Again, their website is www.proud-ferguson.org. To learn more about the organization, please keep in mind coming up, they will have the Evening in the Garden, and they will be publicizing more information, I'm sure, about this event forthcoming. But just to get your minds and hearts wrapped around this event that you would probably love to attend. I've gone in the past. They are always awesome, great group to connect with and just to learn more and enjoy what we actually know about people, community, and neighborhoods. So thank you again to Proud for the work that you're doing. Next, coming up, our next guest is an awesome woman with a great story. I learned about her on LinkedIn, and when I read her story, I just literally had to stop, take a moment, think about what was being said, and then just take it all in. What a powerful, powerful testimony she has. And I want to share it, the background as far as what she does today. Her name is Yvette Battle. She's a licensed minister, social worker, psychotherapist, credentialed board certified Christian counselor, author, co-servant leader of BHS, faith-based recovery ministry, and founder of the Creative Healing Place. I'd like to introduce to some and present to others none other than Minister Woman of God, Yvette Battle. Thank you so much for joining us on today. All righty, we'll wait to get her locked in and see if she's in at this time. But I just want to continue to inspire you guys and let you know how great God is. He's so amazing to do what needs to be done in our lives. He's gracious. He's kind. He's amazing. And I'm always greatly appreciative of all that is going on in our communities and our lives, just so that we can see what is going on. I'm telling you, you may think in a community or your church or ministry something that you may be praying about doing, but there's someone doing it, and we want to make sure that we honor that. All right, is our guest on the line at this time? All righty, we'll give her a few more moments, and if she's not on, we'll try to see about rescheduling her if she's not on today. Well, let's just continue to talk about women and the roles that they have. I want you to be very observant of our young people today. There are so many that are seeking love and attention. And in this time where we're talking about mothers and mothering, it's very important to understand and know where our young people are. And listen, there are some great young people doing some amazing things, and then there are some that need guidance. I want us to always be in a frame of mind to understand the importance of those that are taking the time to reach out to our younger generation. Why is that important, you say, Pastor Michelle? Because whether our physical, biological parents are able to do it or not, as a believer, as those that are after Christ, we find that they are there. Hold on just one moment. This is our guest. Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I was. All righty, there you are. I'm so excited to have you on the line. It's so good to hear your voice. You can tell I went an octave up hearing your voice.
Excellent. Good evening, yes. Or good afternoon where you are. But you
yes. Well, listen, I am so excited that you are on. I would love for you to share your story. We gave your introduction just to talk to us about who you are and what God has been up to in your life.
Okay, because I'm not, like, I'm looking at the title. I'm so long-winded. I got to learn how to wrap this long story up in a synopsis. That's why I wrote a book, because I'm like, the synopsis, I got to learn. So thank you so much for having me. I give honor to God for we're all. Honor is due. I give honor to you as woman of God and your leadership.
God bless you.
I give honor to my bishop, Dr. James Castle. I am here in Yonkers, New York. So basically what I do now, I am a psychotherapist. I'm a social worker. I'm a credentialed alcohol and substance abuse counselor. I'm a board certified Christian counselor. I'm a licensed minister, and I am in my doctorate program to be a clinical Christian counselor and of psychology as well. And that's how we met, me putting my story up, trying to find for my doctorate program, which I started this week. My passion and my purpose on this earth, amongst many other purposes that God has for me, and some of those have yet to be revealed, is to be an advocate for the recovery and substance abuse mental health community. And I have so many intersectional testimonies, but my loudest one is the drug abuse. I grew up in a very upper middle class neighborhood. My father, you know, my mom and dad were married. My father had several masters. I remember my father, you know, preaching his trial sermon, the PK. You know, I came from what is considered protective factors, but that's not always the case. You know, I was raised in church, but I wasn't raised in Christ. So, you know, what we did outside of Sunday is not, like, I didn't see love between my parents. There was a lot of, you know, infidelities my mom was having, and it affected me. And I had untreated ADHD, which if it goes untreated, you know, often people will self-medicate because they're looking for endorphin and stimulation. So, you know, because also my parents struggled, a lot of spirits were allowed in the home, and they had access to me from pornography. Like I said, I had an eating, you know, I'm being recovered from bulimia. My dad used to write letters to my mom, calling her a fat slug. She gained weight when she was pregnant. It was just a lot. And, you know, I started to run away as a teen, and I just wanted not to be there. And running away put me in institutions, and eventually I became a dancer. I'm an adult entertainer, if you want to call it. And that introduced me to other substances besides weed. Opening the door to coke and then ecstasy and meth and LSD and eventually crack. And I went from this high-class showgirl in Vegas. I was making $1,000 a day, more legally, not morally right, but legally. You know, I wasn't doing anything strange for no change. But I went from, you know, working in the best clubs to the end. I was walking. It's funny because it's not funny. That is intentional. But, you know, the topic of being Mother's Day, right? I had a son. I have a son. And, you know, I had an apartment. And some church mothers came to my house and said, your house is hot. We're hearing all about it in the community. You need to go to rehab. And my son, who was about 10 months, they said, well, give him to your mom, and we'll take you to the rehab. I went to the rehab. I slept about 3 days straight. I got up, and I left the rehab because I was like, I really missed my son. I got out the door. And I didn't get three blocks down the street. Some men pulled over. They had some drugs. I took a hit. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to run myself down. What I'm going to do is, this is the insanity. I said, I'm going to run, and I'm going to be done by the time my son turns one on August 13th, and then I'll go home. Well, that run turned into 13 years. And so I literally overnight went from, you know, I was dancing, and I was working at an apartment. I literally, a full-time mom. Overnight, I became a streetwalker, going in and out from pillar to post, just drifting with whoever had drugs, you know, sleeping in abandoned houses, standing on street corners, going in and out of jail for recidivism with prostitutions. Like, I was like, back home, where I'm from, Louisville, Kentucky, they're really big on vice, which is like prostitution, drug sales. They're more worried about prostitution. I just think it's free. It's an easy target to get their tickets. But I ended up going to jail like 110 times. Jail was at the revolving door. It actually was a break. I was staying 3 or 4 days at a time. You know, my face was so picked up. I went to an institution where they allowed me to look for work, but if you don't come back, it's an escape charge, which is a Class B felony. And so being the addict that I was, they knew when they put me in there I wasn't coming back. If I have 80-some tickets of not coming back and warrants, y'all knew. So I went. Of course, I left. I didn't come back. And that gave me my felony. I went to prison. I only had a year, which is 7 months. They gave me parole after 4 months. So for parole I would have 5 years of parole instead of just finishing 3 more months. But because I didn't, you know, I was still in my addictive mindset, I'm rushing to get out instead of just finishing the sentence. They knew what they were doing. I relapsed, and I violated my parole, and I went back. So time is all up. Eventually, my lifestyle brought me to New York. I was with a gentleman that we were just in a street relationship. And I eventually became pregnant with my son, my youngest son, excuse me, my throat. My period wasn't coming, and I finally, I was running a crack house, a brothel, it was just, and I found that I was 5 months pregnant. I don't want to call it a brothel, because it wasn't nothing organized. It was just smoking crack, people want a girl, it was just everything goes. That's my life. I found that I was like almost 6 months pregnant with my son. And I called my mom, and my mom has raised my son, my oldest son. And she's like, how are you going to have a baby when you're not taking care of the one you got? And so I called Planned Parenthood, and I'll never forget, I talked to the woman on the phone. I said, you know, I don't have any other options. And she said, you have lots of options. And that's not how Planned Parenthood usually works. I hung up the phone, and I said, I don't know how this is about to happen, But every month I said I was going to stop. I was going to stop. So I don't, at least don't piss, yeah, give a dirty urine. But it came February 29th. My son was supposed to be born on leap year, and I couldn't stop smoking. So because I can only have C-section. So I called the hospital, said my, well, they called me looking for me. And I said, you know, my baby's father's out of town. I'm sorry I couldn't. I'll come in there next morning. We come in there. I'm still smoking. The drugs ran out around 1 o'clock. And I gave birth to my son at 5 o'clock. And I remember the first, I was laying on that table, and I said, what is about to be the result? Because I was prostituting pregnant. I was smoking pregnant. And it wasn't because I didn't have no care. I could not stop. And so I remember laying on that table, like, what is about to be the effect? And I remember the photo was, I'm so sorry. And he stopped crying immediately. And so every day, every time the door opened, I just knew it was CPS coming to get him. And after the third day, he's like, are you ready to go home? And I was like, what? He came back negative from all drugs.
Wow.
Not a single drop. And I'm talking about, I was smoking like a broke soap. Like, you know, up to the day. And I'm not talking about casually. That was my all day, every day for 12 years. And so that started to wake me up. I was still trying to use my juggling being a mom, which is the hardest thing. Back to the Mother's Day. Because, you know, a lot of people judge mothers and addiction harder than men, right? Like, how can you just let your kid go? How can addiction don't care if you got a PhD or a GED. I got high with a lawyer from Harvard who had a
four
at Harvard and Yale. You know how that man died? In a crack house with no lights. He got killed over some $40 crack credit. Addiction don't care about pregnancy. It don't care about who you are, who your family is. And so it's hard, and it's so hurt to, like, be bound by a demonic, and it's a disease, and it's a spirit. To be bound by something where you want to be a mother, but this disease saying, no, you got to go get this hit. And so, you know, I had a CPS case, and that was what was used. They put me in an outpatient program. And what I love about New York, opposed to back home, they just kept locking me up. I committed 3 shoplifting charges in Mount Vernon, and they said, this girl got an issue. And put me in treatment. And so, you know, for the first time in years, I was taking a bath every day. For the first time in years, I knew the sun felt and not trying to avoid it. For the first time in years, I actually started to have friendships. For the first time in years, I was talking on the phone other than to a trick or a drug dealer. These are all the things that people don't think about. I got clean for 8 months, and I relapsed. And immediately I went right back into treatment. I put myself back. Then I relapsed after 6 months because even though I wasn't using, I was going to intensive outpatient 5 days a week. I was going to NA meetings every night. I was going to therapy, but there was still something missing. And it was manifesting, the disease was manifesting in other ways. So I was getting back worried about my weight. And then I'll get obsessive. And they put me on all type of medications. And all it was doing was numbing me a little bit. But once I got used to the dosage, the obsession was still there. And finally, I met Jesus. And that was what was missing. And once I got introduced to him, I removed the language. And however people want to identify themselves, that's fine. That's between them and the Lord. I don't say I'm an addict. I say I'm a Christian recovery. I'm not going to speak death over me. My name is Hi. And so I'm an addict, like the teachers in the NA rooms. I stopped saying that over me.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody said, because that session was so hard that last time, the hardest time. And I'll never forget, I gave a dirty urine, and my counselor had wrote a contract that if I gave another dirty urine, they was going to make me go inpatient with my son. But I'm not slow. I know that if you can't find me a bed, you will take this baby from me. So I gave another dirty urine, and she took me in the office, closed the door. I don't want to use the language on your video, on your audio, but she said, Rich, your urine is dirty. And I needed that. She's like, I promise I'm done. Because after I smoked that hit, when I realized, I called the dealer. I said, please don't ever come back. I know I'm not supposed to be doing it. And he was like somebody like me. That's at good. Like, God has a calling, but we were in the street. And my counselor said, Yvette, don't make me regret this. And I did not make her regret it. So 9 years later, here I am. And, you know, I really, originally I went to school to keep myself busy. I graduated from the rehab, and I'm like, I got married to somebody really fast. That's a whole other testimony, another show. But when I graduated that last time, I was like, I need to be busy. And so my welfare worker told me about the reform program, which is people don't understand. If you're on welfare, you're going to school, you're doing something. You're not just sitting collecting the check. People have that very much confused. Bill Clinton passed that. So they put me in this program up in Westchester Community College. That was really, I don't like to use the word addicted because people don't understand what that really means, but I got so enamored with education. And I'm from the South where you might be in a room with mainly white, black, and maybe a couple of Mexicans. Here I am. I got people from every part of the world in my classroom. And now here I am on campus. And at first, I'll never forget my first paper. I got a D because I didn't know the difference between two and two, there. I didn't know about having no work citing or any of that stuff. So I marched my butt to the tutoring station, and I learned, and I banged out. I got my associates, and I got my bachelor's. Then I got, and at first I was like, maybe this is a fluke. Like, maybe, but then I kept doing it. And so then people tell me that an associate is not going to pay your bills. So then I realized I had to get the bachelor's. Then I got the master's. Then I got the license. And I definitely was running from the doctor. But you can't run. You can be Jonah and do all day long. But God's either going to put you in the belly of a fish or you're going to do what he calls you to do.
That's right.
In this process, I've gotten married. My son is very healthy. He's 11, the youngest one. My oldest son is 21. His name is Genesis. We're actually going to surprise my mom for Mother's Day. I haven't seen my son since before COVID. And let me tell you how good God is. My son has you can't – not being raised by your mom is a trauma, right? And so even though he doesn't hold it against me, there's some things I know he wants to talk about. So I'm trying to get him to therapy and stuff. And I told my mom years ago she needed to. She's like, why do you need to be in therapy? I'm like, Mom, his mom abandoned him from drugs, and his daddy's in prison for drugs. Why? What do you mean? But the point I'm making is he tells me, Mom, you're the number one mom. I know you were sick.
Wow.
So that's only God. That's only God. I'm sure he would have wanted it a different way. But he did tell me, he's like, Mom, I appreciate it that you did what you thought was the best thing for me. And so, you know, as a minister of the gospel, as you said in my post, it wasn't just to get the GoFundMe, but I'm always posting like that. Because when I first started dibbling and dabbling, I didn't know what addiction really looked like. I thought I had this picture of people that are poor, somebody who's like the end of it, right? I didn't think it would ever happen. And then I think here I am, I had money. So I'm like, why would I be somewhere behind the alley doing something strange for a change? Because I didn't know how the disease progressed. So had maybe I seen posts like the ones I posted, maybe, just maybe, I would say, okay, maybe this is getting too far. Maybe, okay, I am doing that pattern. But I didn't know what addiction patterns look like. And so my purpose, and that's helped people like you reach out to me. I'm not trying to brag, but I can't count how many times I've had inboxes about, you know, talk shows or people saying thank you, giving me hope for my daughter who's addicted, or my daughter passed, but seeing your story gives me hope. Or I have the girl see my I went viral because I was praising the church and people was talking about it. And the girl said, I have 4 hours clean. I'll win alcohol. People don't understand alcohol is the most dangerous drug. But she's like, you just motivated me. Now she got 2 weeks clean because of a post she saw.
Wow.
So one time my pastor had prayed over me and said that my ministry is international. It is, and I didn't get it at first. I'm like, I ain't going across the world, but global. But it is. For now, I've reached people in Africa and Australia. Mm-hmm. And so I said all this to say my career is in social work because social work is ministry. As long as you're doing if you're doing it like you're posting, not just because you think it's an easy job, because it's very hard. But it's ministry. And so it comes naturally as I'm aligned with the Holy Spirit to do for others who can't do for themselves. And as a mother now, that I'm a mother to both my children, I've learned, and as you spoke about the virtuous woman, you know, the virtuous woman represents the church. And the husband in the scripture represents the husband, Jesus. And so as I get closer and get more filled with him, I become that virtuous woman because of Jesus' sacrifice, not on my own accord. And so I'm just thankful that God gave me an opportunity to be a mother one of that first time, because I didn't think I could have kids. And so he gave me another opportunity to see what being a mom was like. And I can't do nothing but to say thank you. And because of my son, like all these things, all because God gave me a baby in the most craziest. I had welfare. I didn't even have welfare. That's how I was eating out the garbage. Like, and so God gave me this baby because he knew what he was going to, what it was going to do. And I'm going to wrap this up with this. When I had my Josiah, like I said, with Genesis, I didn't mean to abandon him. I put it, they came and got me and told me to go to rehab. I didn't choose that. So the pressure of me going is people have to go on their own. The courts can't make you. You can't even do it for your kids. You got to do it for you. And so Genesis was a mistake. Like, it didn't mean to happen. Well, but Josiah being in my arms, it just reminded, like, I'm like, I can't lose him. I can't do this again. And I knew that if they removed him, I don't have any family here. He would go to the state, and I knew I would never see him again. And so now my son is almost a black belt in Taekwondo. He is a prophet of God. He's a huge calling on his life. And so I just thank God that I didn't choose, because I am pro-choice as far as choosing life. And so I'm thankful that God let me do that. That's all I got.
And
I don't know.
I'm
talking a little bit too long. I'm sorry.
No, you know what? I'm really encouraged by your testimony, as I said, when I saw it on LinkedIn. But I do want to say this. I want the listening audience to also know the same baby. This is just so amazing that you talked about. He had nothing in his system. Recently you posted, and I know we have just a few moments, but recently you posted about how you were in a grocery store. When I say that, because I love young people, and how he saw someone and he felt that God wanted him to pray for them, and he prayed for them, and that blessed me so much. And I want to say to you, all that you were talking about of where you've gone from to where you are, I truly believe that God always uses our lives as testimony. And because you poured so much, God is pouring back into your family for the sacrifice and saying yes. So I honor you, your husband, your family. You have a beautiful family from the pictures you posted. And just to continue to go on, because there's so much, like you said, inside of you that has yet to come out. God is preparing greater things for you. You know, your doctorate program. You know, I actually have two things I want to share with you. One is I almost put doctor in front of your name when I was writing the post. And I had to think about it. She hasn't gotten it yet. And then the second thing is I never shared with you, but you have my middle name. So God always shows me. And I didn't even think about it until today. I was like, wait a minute. And so I just want to say to you, I applaud you, woman of God, for following the footsteps of God, for fulfilling your destiny. He's still yet fulfilling your destiny. And we're going to talk. There's so much more we didn't cover. I've got to bring you back on. There's so much more we didn't cover. But I want you to know that you're welcome to come back. We're thankful you were on today. And if there's someone out there, we only have a little bit of time, but if there is someone out there struggling with what the world calls addiction, can you encourage them to know that God did it for you, he can do it for them?
So, yes, we all have different paths on about sobriety. Some people, for me, it was culture. I'm either in or out. I can't dip. Some people, they do harm reduction. But at the end of the day, that next hit is not guaranteed. And whether it's a drink of alcohol, whether it's even weed now with all this fentanyl going around, you're not guaranteed to make it past that next. And so taking the opportunity, and it does hurt. Like right now, I don't ever struggle with using, ever. I never think about using. But that's the easiest part of my recovery is denying the drug. The hard part is living this life on life's terms without a substance, and I haven't done that in years. So it is fearful trying to stop mm-hmm. and having to clean up the mess you made. But I can promise you that your best day sober will always, never, and always never amount to your worst day in sobriety. Let me repeat that. If you're sober and you have a bad day, that will always be better than your best day in the street. And so giving yourself a chance, as painful as it may be, giving your that gives an opportunity for your purpose to be fulfilled. And God loves you right where you are and who you are, despite of. So it will be footwork. You have to put the footwork in. But when you invite him, it's a wrap. But just get ready and buckle up, because you in for the ride of your life. But they say beyond your wildest imagination, and it's true.
Wow. Now tell them, how can we get your book? How do we get in contact with you for conferences? Someone may be listening today and says, listen, that's a powerful story. Can you give them your contact information, media information that you like to supply so the listening audience can get in contact with you?
Yes. So my Instagram is the Black Sober Social Worker. That is my I need to get that trademark. My friend told me I've been waiting too long. But Black Sober Social Worker. Facebook is Yvette Battle, Yvette with a Y, Battle, LMSWBCC. And email me for the book, because there was something going on with my domain for the book. I don't know what's going on. So you can just email me at my private email, personal email, excuse me, Yvette Drew, D-R-E-W, the number 4, at Gmail.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we thank you so much for being on today. We appreciate your story. We appreciate you. We pray that you will have a very blessed and beautiful Mother's Day. And God bless you to your husband and children and your bishop and church family.
Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No
problem. But increase to you, my sister. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Right. Well, listen, you just heard from the soon-to-be Dr. Yvette Battle. We're super excited about that. And I hope you were encouraged by both guests on today. We talked to Mr. Alan Mueller about just what it means in our communities, about how we need these tools to know what's going on in housing, what's going on with various things that we see, and the opportunity to attend on May 16th. Please make sure, if you're interested and available, that you definitely show up. We then talked to Yvette Battle, gave us her life story, shared with us all of the things the Lord took her through for her to become all that she is today. What are we saying? All things are possible in God. I just want to share a few announcements with you. I am super excited again about Mother's Day. Many of you know that my husband and I biologically do not have children, but we have tons of children everywhere. And so we want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to mother. And I want to say to every mother that is not physically had a child, or you miscarried, or there's something happened where you don't feel whole, God loves you. He can still use us in any capacity that he chooses to. I chose to take the love I wanted for children and pour it into my community and my family and those that he would assign in my life, that I would be able to live out that he spoke over my life. Sometimes we get a word and we think it may be one way, but God can do what he wants to do any way he chooses to. So I want you to be encouraged. Be that example. Be that person that when you hear his voice, you move. Remember, I always say, someone's life depends on it. So the longer you withhold it, the more they're suffering. But when you say yes and you make up your mind, that you are there. God can do the incredible. So keep that in mind. I want to share to all the mothers, Happy Mother's Day. On Monday nights, you can hear Pastor Donald Wright Jr. and myself on Facebook Live at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time and on 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I also want to share with you, meet us back here on Wednesdays on Elation Radio, p.m. Central Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every fourth Friday, join the women of Elation on Clubhouse. That's every fourth Friday. You can meet us on Clubhouse. We discuss ministry, business, whatever the Lord would put on our hearts. Our speaker of the month will go forth, and we have received such great support. We want to thank you for those of you that tune in every fourth Friday as well. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open for community events on May 20th at Fairgrounds Park. Operation Save the Lou will present Forgive STL. This event is to bring our city together to pray and for us to come together and know that God is able to stop the violence. For more information, you can go to www.operationstl.com. We also have, again, May 16th coming up for Proud. And the event that they are presenting on May 16th of real estate, and it's going to talk about everything that's needed for the communities that we need. It will be May 16th at the Ferguson Community Center, 1050 Smith Avenue at Ferguson, Missouri. For more information, www.proud-ferguson.org. Hey, is this your birthday month? If so, we celebrate you and mothers in the month of March. I meant May. We celebrate you all in the month of May. So thank you so much for that. Maybe it's not your birthday. It's a big event that you're having. Maybe you had a baby. You're graduating. To all of the graduates, God bless you. We pray that your next steps are blessed and fulfilled with his favor. Thank you, thank you, thank you for completing your task. The world is awaiting you, your gifts, and what you have to offer. I also want to say not only to the graduates on the other side, perhaps that you are going through some affliction, maybe there's some provision needed, maybe there's something else happening that's not celebratory. We want you to know here at Elation Radio, we are praying for you. So know that when you tune in and you inbox me and all of these things, we are lifting you up. We care about you. And also, there are resources that are available. We have the Urban League St. Louis, that's ulstl.com, where they have over 60 programs. In addition to that, they have various programs, services that are available to the community. You can find out more information about them at www.ulstl.com. All right. Then we have the United Way. They have intake specialists for your needs. You call in, they'll direct you to the division that is needed. In St. Louis, we dial 211. You may want to look up the numbers that you would dial in your community. Last but not least, the St. Louis community. St. Louis County Library offers various things such as flow kits for women. They offer after-school meals for youth and children. They offer so many different things, senior services. For more information, you can look up www.slcl.org. Other than that, I want you to know there's so many things coming up. On May 21st is the Annie Malone Parade. It is a known St. Louis. We want you to look up information at Annie Malone Children's Center, our home, and they will be able to direct you on all the festivities of that weekend. St. Louis will be very busy May 20th and the 21st, but we're here for it, all right? And I want to encourage every pastor and leader, continue to look to the hills for whence cometh your help, knowing all of your help coming from the Lord thy God. To each listener, we are praying and lifting you up, praying that your tomorrow, your today is everything God intends for it to be, and that if you're not saved, we invite you to know the Lord. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it tells us to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, to say yes to the Lord, to repent and ask him to come in to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you don't need to be saved. Maybe you need to be restored. We want you to know we're praying for you here and just for you with Pastor Michelle Y. Wright. Well, we're at the close of another wonderful podcast. We give God all the glory. We thank you for listening in. You do know how to get in contact with me. And in case you don't, it's Michelle Wright on Facebook, M-I-C-H-E-L-E. Last name is Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. On Instagram, it's His Blessed Girl 7, His Blessed Girl 7. And for my email, it is Leading Wright, LeadingWright at gmail.com. Thank you again to our wonderful producer, Dr. Kenny Robinson. We love you. We love you. We love you. And her daughters, both daughters, are moving on. As Mally would say, moving on. Okay, I'm not going to sing for you guys, but that is what's going on. And we thank the Lord for Hannah and for Candace. God bless you both and all of the graduates. Let's pray out. May God bless your week. We're looking forward to it. If the Lord says the same next Wednesday, and the time will be 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Abba Father, thank you so much for today, what you've done, what you're about to do. Thank you for every listener. Bless their homes. Bless their lives. Lord, we ask that you draw those that don't know you closer to you, those that ask to be a part of the royal family in you. We ask that you cover them in your blood. And Father, to that one that's still deciding, we ask that you bless them as well. Thank you for Proud today. We ask that you bless what they're doing and the works that they're doing for the community, as well as our special guest, Alan Mueller, as well as the soon-to-be Dr. Yvette Battle, and the work that she does in her church, in her community, and as a social worker. We thank you for our family, and we thank you for everyone. We ask that your perfect will be done. Keep your hand upon us. And Lord, we thank you in advance for your many, many blessings. Touch that home where affliction is. We believe, God, for divine healing. Touch that one who says they don't know where the next meal is coming from. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Touch the one that has given up all hope and let them know that in you all things are possible. Whatever we need, we find in you, and you will definitely do what is your word. What it tells us it will do. So we say thank you. I thank you for my husband and my home, our leaders. I thank you for everyone that is attached to us, Elation Radio and our family and the Elation family, just everyone. We love you. We don't want to exclude anybody. We love you all. May God continue to bless each and every one of us. Let your blood cover, protect us all from all hurt, harm, and danger. Forgive us of our sins and give us the ability to forgive others. We thank you for all things, our trials as well as our blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. May God bless you all. This has been your host and the Michelle Y. Wright Pastor Michelle Wainwright, just Michelle. Okay, it's just for you with Pastor Michelle Wainwright. God bless you. We'll see you next time if the Lord says the same. Hallelujah.
Nothing can stop me.
Nothing can
block
me.
I am a winner. Look at your name and say, I speak the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. Tell them you got victory. You gotta speak victory over your life.
Nothing can stop me.
Yeah, nothing can block me.